You're traveling through another dimension, a dimension comprised of knowledge, opinions, and entertainment. A journey on a virtual information highway into a wondrous land whose boundaries are more distant than the outer reaches of the Twitter sphere. Your next stop, The Trend Zone.
Hello and welcome to The Trend Zone. Casey Mallon here with Dave Hewitt. And each week at the Football Radio Show, we give you our expert insight, analysis, and opinions on the top trending stories in the NFL. Dave, are you red-eyed?
No, oh, dude, I am ready for some NFL action, you two man.
It is an area which we call the Trend Zone. In this week's episode, we're going to get to our go-back fantasy starts of the week, our survival picks, and look at some of the tasty, tasty Week 7 matchups. Oh, man, fired up, Dave. But before we fire the peoples up, got to have enough to fire up. Do it, brah.
All right, dude. This is a variation on a theme for this year. With the tightness of the NFL, the competitive nature, 50 games decided by 7 points or fewer. That is tied for the most in a season's first 6 games in NFL history back with 1999. Dude, we're partying like it's 1999, dude. These games are so tight. It's fun.
Hey, man, I was dreaming when I wrote this, so forgive me if it goes astray, but for the 7th time this season, 2 more teams have blown a double-digit fourth-quarter lead. But the good news here, Dave, is neither one of those teams were the Chargers.
No kidding, dude, man. We tried. We made it fun for the people as we almost squandered away our Thursday night victory over the Broncos. But Chargers held on.
Back in the mix, baby. Back in the mix.
Tighten up that AFC West, man.
All right, Dave, people want it. We shall give the peoples what they need. You go back fantasy start of the week.
Okay, see, I wish there was a go back that could have fixed what went wrong with my fantasy, which is turning more into, they should call this nightmare football for me. As 3 of my top 4 picks are on the injured reserve right now, and I have officially lost to the worst guy in our league over the last more than a decade. It's an embarrassing loss, Casey, but you know,
well, he probably put up a bunch of points with this free agent defense.
The free agent defense that he picked up last week and forgot to put in last week and then also forgot to put in this week. Yeah, that's the same defense that came up shy. Man, I had Ben Roethlisberger. He went down. He only got me a 10. Eli Manning clobbered me in that quarterback matchup. But man, frustrating fantasy season for me at 1-5. I squeaked out 1, though.
Yeah, there you go, man.
Hey, I'm 3-3 in my other league, Casey.
Yeah, Dave, you know how I feel about your other league. You know how we all feel about your other league.
You don't care?
That's right. Correct the mood, though. But hey, this week I did pretty good. I only left a couple points on the bench. I could have, and I'm never going to bench Zeke, but I could have played Christian Michael and gotten 3 more points. But that's not what matters here, Dave. What matters is I sniveled the snivelers. By 1.12 points to get the top score of the week.
Nice.
Pocketed a little extra cash.
And the money.
Cash.
Nice. It's always good to beat Bob and the snivelers, right?
Oh.
No! All right, Casey. Survivor picks. You know, the people clamor for these as well, Casey. Survivor picks. Everybody's always squirming for their survivor picks. Who did you have this week, bro?
I went with Arizona, baby, on Monday night in the nest there. I knew that they would provide in the Jets. Ugh. I don't know if you could even call that football, bro.
Oof.
No, they're disappointed there in Jetsville. That was awful. But Arizona, baby, keeps me alive. I got those 2 strikes. I'm hanging on by a thread, Dave, but I am hanging on.
Well, I'm still clean, Casey. My pick. And I was very confident until when I picked them on Saturday night. And then I woke up on Sunday morning and I thought to myself, what the hell? I picked the team that was number 1 in the draft last year. I picked the Titans, dude. But they've been playing some solid football this year, and they got it done for me. They squeaked it by. So Titans keep me clean, man. I'm pretty excited. You know, I almost went with the Bills and they would have been fine too, but a lot of people went with Pittsburgh, and that was kind of like my other shot that I might go with, Casey. Pittsburgh killed a ton of people this week by coming up short in that game.
That's why we don't like to go on the heavy favorites, dude.
That's right.
Get on them 1 week, and it annihilates so many people. All right, Dave, it's time to get to the action here.
The
Dave,
meat.
We've got some pretty good, very tasty games coming up in week seven, dude. Get a start. Started, mate.
Oh, dude, man, we're going to wing on over to London. It's the 3-3 Giants at the 3-3 Rams, man. Giants are on the road in this one. They are favored by 3 in London.
Man, this is a big game, dude. Both of these teams sitting right there, kind of on the outside. The Giants, dude, in a heavy competitive NFC East, already 15 wins in that division. Odell Beckham kind of saved the day, broke away from his little girlfriend, the net there, and went out and got a couple touchdowns. But the Rams, bro, 3-3, had a couple big wins. Case Keenum was really good last week, man. Just not good enough at the end there. He had at one point where it was 19 straight completions.
Wow.
Just getting it done. But Dave, what was the formula for this Rams team going into the season?
It was run it and play defense, man. And the one thing they can't do is run it. What's going on, bro?
Dude, Todd Gurley's only got 346 yards on the season. 2.9 yards per carry average, dude. We saw him hulk over the league last year, and it's just not happening this season.
No doubt, dude. But you know what? They're going to be stoked over in London's Twickenham Stadium no matter what, because they got New York versus Los Angeles, dude. Doesn't that sound good? You just put that up? It sounds really good, dude.
Sound like that, I even got excited for that. Dude, I'm getting sick of the Jeff Fisher era, too, bro. How long is this cat going to hang around? I know we thought we'd have a transition to the new stadium, but like he promised us no more 7-9. BS.
Yeah, this is no 7-9 team, Casey. So what you're telling me is two decades of sub 500 football and one Super Bowl loss isn't enough for you?
No, I need a little more, Dave. Hey, go over there and get us a win. It counts as a home game. So if he does it, that, but dude, I it's wearing thin, bro.
Yeah, so no doubt. All right, get us
and
to the next game.
What else, dude? This was a team that gave up all those picks so the Skins could draft RG3. He's not even on the Skins anymore, but those guys have still been to the playoffs. The Rams should be doing something with all these picks. They were back in the QB race this season. I'm not saying anything bad about Goff. I think he could still be a rad dude, but come on, man. All those picks and nothing to show for it.
Yeah, it's a tough division, Casey. Tough division with the Cardinals and the Seahawks, you know. Those are some playoff teams from the last couple of years. It's not easy busting through. It's a long-term plan. Really long term.
3 decades. Oh, all right, Dave. Up next, we got another rad game. The 5-0 Vikings at the 3-2 Philadelphia Eagles. The Vikings, 2.5-point favorites on the road.
Yeah, dude. I'll tell you what, man. Minnesota playing some phenomenal defense this season. Really getting it done. Defensively, and they really haven't even started scratching the surface on the offensive side of the football with this one. And obviously we know on the other side of the ball, the Eagles are playing some solid defense too, but, Carson Wentz sort of kind of coming back to earth a little bit. What do you think?
Yeah, you know, my question is, dude, what happens if Sam Bradford comes in there and destroys those Eagles? I'm more concerned about Sam than Wentz. You know, what's Philly fan going to say then if Sam comes in and lights those cats up? He's like, this is the guy we had and got rid of. Why?
Yeah, no question about that. But obviously Sam had struggled staying healthy. We know when Sam Bradford is healthy, yeah, he's got a big arm and he's an accurate quarterback too, and he's an intelligent guy. That really works well in a Norv Turner offensive scheme where he can get the ball downfield. And obviously they don't have, Peterson running the football. The complexion of this Vikings offense changed substantially, but this defense has been, years through the draft in the making, and it's really starting to pay off for the Vikings, man. They look solid.
Dude, I think they are going to be highly motivated to get this win for Sam.
No doubt about
this
it, man.
For Sam.
Okay, up next, it's the 5-1 Patriots at the 4-2 Steelers in an AFC showdown, bro. This one's got classic nature written all over it. The Patriots on the road favored by 7, but there's a reason for that, right?
Yeah, we're not going to have any Big Ben in this game, and that is bad news for the Steelers because the Patriots will have Tom Brady, and guess what? He's 8-2 versus those Pittsburgh Steelers. And in his last five, he's got 17 touchdowns, no interceptions, and a 127.9 passer rating against those Steelers. So
that's good.
He's not, yeah, that's pretty good. He's not going to want to take it easy on them. And then, you know, what did the Patriots want to do? Bill Belichick, dude, he's known for taking away what you do best. And if there's no Big Ben, I'm not worried about Antonio Brown, really.
Yeah, no doubt about it, man. And on the other side, Gronk is sort of really starting to catch his rhythm. You know, last week, 7 catches, 162 yards and a score in the big win over Cincy. You know, he's really starting to come on. He's obviously unstoppable. It's just a matter of slowing him down. But without Big Ben, a ton more pressure falls on the Le'Veon Bell, because you just don't see Landry Jones necessarily putting the receiving group really in position to take over that game. So it's so much is going to fall on Le'Veon Bell. He's averaging almost 135 yards per game on the ground from scrimmage, which is best in the NFL. But when you take away the threat of Big Ben going deep, you know, and I don't know, we'll see how it's going to work, but Bell is going to have to emerge.
All those other Steeler receivers are banged up right now. I know Rodgers is a little banged up. Wheaton is, and so is Coates, dude. So give a little extra attention to Antonio Brown if you even need to. It'll get you back there, and you just stack the box.
And like you said, they love to take away what you do best, so just take away something there and force Bell to beat you.
Yeah, and these Patriots last week, man, they gave us a new look. Marty B barely got any throws his way, but they went with James White out of the backfield, dude. It's like week to week, they can do a different form of attack.
They can, they're like chameleons, too. They just morph into whatever they need to do to beat you. So we'll see what they come up with this week.
Impressive, man. They have to play the game, but I'm rolling with the Patriots in that one. All right, Dave, we got a nice NFC West battle up next. The 4-1 Seahawks at the 3-3 Cardinals, and the Cardinals are 1.5-point favorites at home.
Yeah, man, and the Seahawks, you know, they haven't really blown us away this year with, like, impressive wins, but they're 4-1, you know, and their defense is still solid. They're on a 3-game winning streak. Defense is obviously one of the best in the league, but like I said, just they're not doing it with flash or necessarily, you know, blowing us away, but there they are, getting it done. Unlike last year, where they were struggling a little bit at this point in the season, the Seahawks looking solid. But the Cardinals on the other side, dude, David Johnson, dude, this guy is killing it, man. This guy is an absolute beast running the football. 833 yards right now. He is on a tear getting it done there. And the Cardinals at 3-3, they haven't really even found their rhythm offensively. Carson Palmer not looking too you know, like where we can expect or hope that he might end up being. So this could be a pivotal game, obviously divisionally speaking, and moving down the road, you know, playoff wise, who gets home field advantage, et cetera, considering that these are perennial playoff teams.
Yeah, you know, the thing about both of them, though, they haven't either, neither team has really put together a complete game.
Exactly.
You know, the Cardinals get out the gate a little bit slow, and then they start picking it up. Seahawks, they got out to a big lead on those Falcons and almost gave it away, and might, could have lost that game if Julio gets the call late, which we all know it was a pass interference. So,
obviously.
If one of the teams does that, they're going to be in trouble this week. But this is a big game, huge in the division.
Yeah.
You know, the Cardinals, if they win this, they even that up a little bit and get a big win right there in the West to see how that's going down. But Christian Michael, dude, for the Seahawks. Everybody talked about Rawls coming into the season, and he got hurt, and he's been out. But this is a guy, Michael, that floated around last year, spent some time on the Cowboys. He's back home.
Yeah.
For whatever reason, it's clicking with this dude, and he is a powerful runner, man. When this dude was at Texas A&M, he was beasting, bro. And now that he's there, I think he's going to hold on to that job. So it's going to be a very, very interesting game, dude. I'm completely stoked to see that one.
No doubt about it, man. Which team will really show up and play their best football? That team's going to win that football game.
Yeah, it's going to be fun.
All right, up next is the 4-2 Texans at the 4-2 Broncos. Broncos at home, favored by 7.5. Two good defenses coming to take the field, Casey.
Yeah, this is an awesome Monday night game. The Texans had a nice overtime win over the Colts last week. And what happened to the, I don't remember, what happened to the Broncos?
Casey, they lost, unfortunately, for Bronco fan on Thursday night against my Chargers.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Now I remember.
It was a correction game, Casey.
The Broncos didn't look great in that game, and Simeon definitely didn't, but they've had 10 days off to prepare for this one. And, you know, you mentioned the defense. That Broncos defense is legit, and you know that they want to punish Brock Osweiler.
Yes, they do.
If they don't get hyped enough for a primetime game Monday night, Osweiler was too good to take the Broncos' money, so that defense is going to want to destroy him. And the Texans do. Speaking of Osweiler, that offense hasn't been that great. They're one of two division-leading teams with a negative point differential. They're not putting up a lot of points. Osweiler has not looked great so far, but what I did see last Sunday night was Lamar Miller finally showing up. Dude, they can't forget. They paid that money for him. Let him be a huge part of that offense. Figure out ways to get him the ball, and you got to get Nuke involved too, dude. It wasn't until late that they started looking at D-Hop's way. Got to get more looks.
Yeah, I mean, I look at this game, Casey, and I'm really surprised that the Texans are 4-2. I haven't been very impressed with them, or Osweiler for that matter. But give them credit, they're 4-2. But heading to Denver, Kubiak wasn't there last week. Cubes was banged up. Simeon banged up. He didn't practice enough during the week, and they had to go with him because Paxton isn't ready for the Broncos right now to get out there. So they had to go with Simeon. Chargers gave him some looks he hadn't seen before, and the NFL's getting some film on him too. But you've also got Wade Phillips defensively there for the Broncos. He knows what's up with Brock Osweiler on the other side of the football. He's going to know how to take away some of the things Brock likes. And Brock hasn't been consistently good this year on the Texans. So I look at this one, and I think that the Broncos, after coming up short on Thursday night and with the long, you know, the mini bye in there, this has got to go. You got to feel strongly that the Broncos are going to be able to handle the Texans at home. And it's a 7.5-point favor for the Broncos. So we'll see if they can cover that. That's kind of the key for me.
Happy or sad that they're not going to have that all orange color rush going on?
That was hideous. But the Chargers look pretty good in their all blues Royals, right? The Royal Blues.
That dark blue helmet that the Broncos had, I did dig that too.
They brought us back to the classic D on the side. There was some coolness there. The unis themselves lacked a little bit of, flavor. I don't know.
Could it be
the flavor was orange, right? Exactly. And the answer is no. None more orange.
Awesome, man. Well, hey, if you haven't done so, head on over to YouTube and subscribe to the Football Radio Show YouTube channel. We got some awesome videos there. Go ahead and like us on Facebook. We have lots of rad NFL content all the time over there. And of course, Football RS, dude. Follow us on Twitter. And that is where it's happening.
Sweet.
That's going to do it for this episode of The Trend Zone. He's Dave. I'm Casey. Enjoy the games. Week 7, people. We out.